Well, running years behind schedule, Europe's new Ariane 6 rocket blasted off on its maiden flight yesterday, thundering away from the European Space Agency's Jungle launch site in French Guiana in a bid to restore independent European access to space. David Moore is chairman of Astronomy Ireland and he joins me on the line now. Good evening to you, David, and welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
David, how important is the success of this particular venture, and why would it be a setback if it's not successful?
Well, Ariane 6 is not just a new launcher of the Irish Space Agency. We're members of the European Space Agency, so we should call it our own. And it's designed to do what Ariane 5 successfully did in over 100 missions with very little failures. And that is to get rockets into space, payloads into space, but also at a lower cost, because there are lots of commercial companies moving into this space as well. And that includes, for instance, SpaceX, Elon Musk's company, that can throw up a satellite for you for about $60-70 million. It'll probably be in the $80 million bracket for Ariane 6, though it looks like there will be European subsidies for missions. And, of course, reliability is also a key, and the exact abilities of each launcher is slightly different. So people who are looking to throw expensive satellites into space look around at the marketplace to see where can they get the best bang for their buck.
And in terms of the European military satellites, science missions, navigation and communication satellites and other commercial payloads, all of this is important, and really Europe's Space Agency see the Ariane 6 as critical to re-establishing and maintaining a foothold in low Earth orbit and beyond indeed.
Yeah, because, you know, Ariane 5 was able to put up lots of payloads. It did its last one, I think, over a year ago. And Ariane 6 was supposed to be online since 2020, but things like COVID slowed things up. There have been some technical issues as well. There was a slight technical issue with yesterday's launch. At the very end, it failed to release two of its payloads. But that's not really a failure of the rocket itself, which is the big powerhouse behind the whole thing. And it's able to put up, I think it's up to 24 tons worth of orbit if you strap on a couple of boosters. And that's an enormous satellite to be putting up. And in fact, one of the tests yesterday was to see could they stop the engine and then restart it, which means you can actually take several satellites up and release them into different orbits as you go along. So that's an important feature that Ariane 6 has. And, you know, people don't realize how much of our everyday lives depend on space. We've got the GPS systems, you know, telling all of our trucks where to go to keep the shelves filled with food. I mean, it's been estimated, for instance, if all the satellites in space were destroyed in an instant, within about 3 days, the shelves of your local supermarket would be empty. That's how much we rely on space for getting products from all around the world, you know, onto a supermarket shelf. It's as simple as that. It's not just weather forecasting, crop prospecting, and all the other things that we hear of in space. It's everyday mundane things like that as well, not just military satellites either.
And the involvement of Ireland in this, I mean, Europe is restoring its autonomous access to space. The CEO of the Ariane Group, Martin Sine, said that. But the involvement of Ireland, how important is that as well?
Yeah, well, the most prominent feature of the Irish involvement yesterday was the fact that everybody around the world, and I was watching live online with over 60,000 people watching live when I glanced down at the YouTube channel, and I'm sure there were lots more watching other ways as well, that the Irish provided the cameras that filmed the release of the various bits of the rocket stages and the ultimate payloads as well, and they seemed to work flawlessly. Railtra, the company in North Dublin that did this, have done other great missions as well. The James Webb Space Telescope release comes to mind in particular. But we have to remember there's over 3,000 people whose jobs are supported around Ireland by Ireland's involvement in the European Space Agency. In fact, that might be an old figure. We've been quoting that for years, and we doubled our involvement a few years ago. So So it's literally thousands of jobs. And certainly Ariane 5, parts of it, of the rockets itself, were built in Ireland. So I'm sure there's lots more than just the cameras in this mission. It's hard to keep abreast of all the work that goes on in the aerospace industry, even in a small country like Ireland. And, you know, we're one tiny part of the European Space Agency's budget. So it's a huge effort to get these rockets up. You know, it's a pretty picture when it goes up on video, but the amount of effort and engineering that goes into this literally cutting-edge technology of which Ireland participates. And some of the Irish companies told me if they're working in the aerospace business, you know, there's a lot more aircraft than there are rockets. And if you've got a space agency on your client list and you can make components suitable for space applications, you almost don't have to tell your aero client that you're good enough for them. It proves it itself.
There was, as you said at the start, David, a problem late in the mission. And assuming that this issue is resolved, I understand a second launch is planned before the end of this year, and indeed several for 2025, 2026 and 27. So therefore, this is a long-term, certainly medium-term project.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first thing is, you know, you test all your systems as best you can on the ground, and then one day you have to do a real test. So there were no expensive commercial satellites on the first launch. But you can throw out opportunities to universities and other research institutions. Even NASA flew a small payload on board the mission. You're not going to risk that much mission. Typically, communication satellites and the like are hundreds of millions of dollars. They cost more than the launch itself. And so most of those seem to have succeeded. And as I said before, you know, the basic rocket, the powerhouse of the whole system, the real Ariane 6, seemed to be a success. It's something to do with the payloads on board, but that will be reviewed as well, because you don't want anybody's payload going astray on the way up. And the next launch is hoping by the end of this year. And I think they have 5 planned for next year, 8 the year after, 10 the year after that. So this will be Europe's workhorse of, like Ariane 5, its predecessor was, but something like half the cost, you know, once you develop systems, you can refine them and make them much better of getting payloads into space. So the future currently at the moment looks bright for the European Space Agency. It was a bit worrying there for a while when we didn't technically have our own launcher.
And David, any particular reason why it's launched from French Guiana?
One of the main reasons is it's a French-owned territory, and France is a big player in the European Space Agency. France and Germany will be the two main players. Britain's involved as well. I think it's over 20 countries now. And the reason for going near the equator is that the Earth is spinning a bit faster there. You don't realize it, but right now you and I are doing about 700 miles an hour as the Earth rotates. But if you go to the equator, you get about 1,000 miles an hour. It's 300 miles an hour. And that means, you know, if you build your launch system there, you can throw an even bigger payload into space with the same size rocket, because you've already got a 1,000 mile an hour head start. It's the reason why the Americans do it from Florida, one of the most southerly points of their mainland. And also then you're launching out over the Atlantic Ocean where there's very few people. So if anything goes wrong, they do declare a safety region, try to get shipping out of the area before each launch. But you've got very tiny chances of it coming down a populated area. So they're the two main reasons, the speed and the safety of launching over an ocean.
And just one final thought on this. You know, you and I have spoken before about space becoming almost a battleground. As China develops, as India develops, the United States, obviously, and now Europe, not going to the moon or going to Mars. But is space, over the course of this century, likely to become something of a battleground between these emerging powers?
Battleground, those words might have been ill chosen, because it's really a race into space, and it's not really to compete on a military basis. It's really to see who can explore, claim the territory first. So the Chinese have definitely got their own Mars program. They've just returned rocks from the moon. People reading the pages of Astronomy Ireland magazine will be well aware of all this. And they've got big ambitions in space, but they don't publicize. They don't need to publicize, given the kind of, what would you call it, country they have, political system they have, let's leave it at that, compared to the Americans. The Americans have got to keep the taxpayers on board. To a certain extent, so do the Europeans, you know, because a lot of tax dollars are going into this. And the more NASA publicizes its particular missions, the more the American public feel good about it when their budget comes up for debate in Congress. Well, Congress people know that the public want to support a big American success story. The Europeans don't do it as well as that. I've actually talked to the head of PR in Israel about this myself. But a lot of what goes on in Europe is very much commercial activity. They're the satellites that people will make money out of, and Europe wants to launch those on a commercial basis. We do have our own exploration systems as well, exploring the planets. And, you know, there will be European astronauts on the moon at one stage, and indeed, let's hope in our lifetime, on Mars. So there's a big race going on in space, but it's a little bit at the moment friendly. It could always turn worse in the future, but for the time being, let's be positive and say it's more of a technology race. And it's a great way of powering your economy. And the Irish authorities realize this as well. But, you know, the Americans developed the entire microelectronics industry out of the Apollo program. There was no real need for it. Before the 60s, computers were going to be the size of skyscrapers and do all the computing. There were a few big computers around the world. Once microelectronics came in, the whole world took a different approach. And now you've got billions of transistors inside your smartphone that's in practically everybody's back pocket. And that is a way you can transform the world. And American companies are some of the leading forces in that. In fact, we're profiting off it here in Ireland. Our science-based economy has those microelectronics manufacturers here. So we owe our huge economy, one of the biggest in the world, to the Apollo program, basically. So, you know, get involved in basic research. It doesn't pay off straight away, but it does in decades.
And just finally, anything interesting coming up on Astronomy Ireland?
Yeah, we have our big annual star party coming up at the end of August. In fact, if you book before the end this month, you'll get the tickets at a reduced rate. If you leave it till after July 31st, you'll have to pay 50% extra. So check out Starbecue. It's on our website, astronomy.ie. We have evening classes running during the summer and also monthly talks running online as well. So there's lots to do, and we urge people to join Astronomy Ireland because, you know, we write all about space and pure astronomy in the magazine every month, especially the Irish angle. And one thing I forgot to do was congratulate Railtra on their success yesterday, but indeed the whole Irish space sector as well. And long may it continue and indeed grow, because the future of the human race is in space, and we should get in on the ground floor.
Very good. We leave it there as always, David. Thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme this evening. David Moore of Astronomy Ireland. Many thanks.